Hatch is an intuitive fundraising technology that will change your organization forever. Upload your donor lists and let Hatch show you what makes your community tick, click, and give. Go to Hatch AI today to discover how giving is predictable. Try for free, and when you love it, save 20% on a paid account using the code HUB20. Welcome back to the Nonprofit Hub podcast. I'm your host, Megan Spear, and along with me today is the founder and CEO of Hatch AI, which is Moshe Hecht, and I'm so excited to have him on the podcast and talk about a different look on AI and how it can actually formulate a data strategy for you. I've heard a couple interviews that he's done, so I'm really excited to dive into this topic today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Megan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice. Thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about your background. I know you've been in the industry long before Hatch. So give the audience a little bit about who you are.
Sure. So I've been servicing the nonprofit community for the better part of a decade now. I started my career at a company called Charity.com. It's Charity with a D, a crowdfunding platform for nonprofits. I helped get that started about 10 years ago. And at that company to date, and the company is still thriving, we've helped over 8,000 organizations raise roughly $3 billion plus in online crowdfunding. And at my time working at a charity, we worked with a lot of organizations, small, mid-sized, large organizations. And over the years, I learned that the greatest challenge facing nonprofits today is no longer we need new donors, we need lists, we need supporters. I found that with all of the crowdfunding, peer-to-peer campaigning, digital fundraising, nonprofits today are sitting on large swaths of supporters. And I found that the biggest challenge facing them is that they have all these supporters and they have this large CRM, or maybe in many times those supporters haven't made it into the CRM yet. They're still sitting on some event list or stuck in some crowdfunding platform. But is that they have all these supporters, but they don't know enough about these individuals to develop the most critical thing, which are deep relationships with these people, to really, truly cultivate them at scale. And in order for you to do that, in order to you to develop a relationship with someone, you need information on them. You need to know what they're passionate about. You need to know what their preferences are. You need to know what their capacity is. And even if they don't have such great capacity, you know, you need to know what their lifestyle is, that they can perhaps participate in some kind of a program. So they might not be able to give you a $1 million gift, but maybe they can run a marathon for you and raise through peer-to-peer crowdfunding. Maybe they can raise money for you. So what we've done at Hatch is we've created a way that we could help you develop relationships at scale. Okay. And what we do is we gather information from roughly 40 public sources. So IRS, FEC, SEC, social data, real-time news, real-time tweets. We gather all that information into one single location, okay, into the Hatch platform, and we create what we call a complete human profile. Okay, so now when organizations view this complete human profile, it takes what otherwise was maybe this one-dimensional line in their CRM, and it turns them into this three-dimensional human being, a three-dimensional human being that has aspirations, that has certain passions, that has certain things, certain particular things that make them feel that they can make an impact through different ways in their life. Right? So participating in different types of campaigns, because at the end of the day, we're all looking and searching to make an impact through our participation with nonprofits. And everybody has got their own particular way, right? Whether it's their childhood, whether it's their could be their religion, it could be their moral structure, it could be whatever that is, whatever their feel that which nonprofit and through which program can help them make the maximum impact. So by viewing this complete human profile, fundraiser, the marketer, the campaign manager can start to get a three-dimensional view of how can I best engage with this individual. And it gives them opportunities to not just ask, because with this information, your asks can be more qualified, your asks can be more targeted, timely, size, frequency, but it also allows them to cultivate them in between those asks, right? You know, I'm a big fan of the rule of seven of fundraising, that between every ask, there should be at least seven touch points between every ask. And it's like we've been saying over years, the rule of seven is like, all right, so let's send them a postcard, and then let's send them another postcard, and let's send them another postcard. And then it's, okay, did we get to seven yet? No, we're still at three. All right, what else could we do? So when you have all this information on these individuals, you can see when their job changes, congratulate them on that. You can see if they've maybe been featured in the news, congratulate them on that. You can see so many different life changes and life evolutions that you can use those opportunities for cultivation. And that's what hatches.
I love that. And I think there's one point that you made in there that I really think is going to strike home, at least stuck out to me. And it's that the fundraiser and the marketer and the relationship manager and all of these things all have access to the same data, where I feel like so many organizations, those things are siloed. Mm. We only look at people through one lens, and the fundraising people are over here and the marketers are over here. But I love the idea that the data not only makes the donor a whole human being, but helps those departments to work together to understand how to reach them instead of being siloed off that way.
Yes. That's actually probably one of our key differentiators from other similar types of platforms. When we came into the space, what existed before we came into the space for when it comes to any type of data enrichment or any type of big data AI is wealth screening platforms. And there, many of them are great. And actually, I encourage organizations that are using wealth screening platforms to stick with their wealth screening platforms, and Hatch can be a new tool on top of that. Because wealth screening is basically focused to answer one important, but one question: who's rich? That's what the wealth screening platforms are.
Who's got the money?
Yeah, who can give $1 million gift, right? And that's very critical for mid to large size organizations that have these large swaths of data. It's a critical task for the prospect researcher, for someone who's been at some organizations, even the fundraisers itself, to delve into these wealth screening platforms and to say, okay, who's most likely to give and how much they're likely to give and what type of connections can be made. Our platform is bringing data to the entire team. You know, a prospect researcher could use our data because we have some of the very similar type of data that the wealth screening platforms have, but it's democratizing data for the entire organization. So if a peer-to-peer campaign manager is looking to see like who's the most likely person to get onto a bike and join a bike-a-thon, or to get into the pool to join a swim-a-thon, or to run, that is where Hatch comes in. So sure, it can be used by the prospect researcher to identify potential major gifts, but it could also be used by the peer-to-peer campaign managers, event planners, really for the very first time to be using third-party data to help grow the campaigns, help grow event participation, help grow volunteership. A lot of times I describe it, if I have to off the cuff, like in an elevator pitch, I would say it's wealth screening for peer-to-peer and crowdfunding campaigns.
Yeah. Just to be super clear, the person who's going to jump on the bike and do the swimming is not me. Nothing that your data from Hatch Pools will tell you, that's what an organization should reach out to me about. But I think, and maybe this is the devil's advocate question, is like any other tool, AI has a ton of power. Is there a line where it becomes too much? Is it too much information that we have about people? And how do people make sure that we're using that data, I don't want to say morally, with responsibility? Sure. What does that look like from your perspective?
Yeah, well, I'll say it ethically.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So the irony of our platform is that all of this data is available to you. So if I would have 5 hours today, which I don't, but if I would have five hours today, I would be able to find all the information that I find on Hatch, on Megan Spear, on through about 5 hours through Google search. Some of it would be just readily available, just open. Some of it would maybe be through some paywalls. Some of it would maybe be through some access, but it's all publicly available information. This information is coming from the IRS, FEC, from the SEC, so these are from news sources. So these are all public information. What we're simply doing is that we're aggregating it and curating it into one single location. So it doesn't take me 5 hours to do a full research on Megan Spear. It takes me less than an hour to enrich my entire organization database.
Yeah.
So it'll take me, once I log into Hatch, once I've uploaded my data, and if I have about 10,000 people in my database, it takes less than an hour for us for the technology that we've built to enrich every profile, I have direct instant access to all this information that otherwise would take me hours to cull and hours to curate and hours to gather in one single location. Now, once I have all that information, I can use our filters. I can use our, we have something, for example, called a social influence score. So based on a lot of the information that we gather on people, we create a score of how socially influential they are. So Elon Musk would get a 100. Megan, you and I, we'd get like a 22.
Yep.
But no offense, right? Okay.
Yep.
It's not bad. It's not bad. And you could actually rank on Hatch, you can rank your entire database based on their social influence score. So you can press two buttons and you can say, okay, from your 10,000 people, here's your entire database, starting by the most popular people in your database. So if you're looking for a social influencer to help launch your next crowdfunding campaign or to be an honoree at your next dinner, then Hatch can help you do that. So we're gathering public information. And we're saving organizations that time and that effort by bringing it into one single location. And then the power of doing that at scale could give the organization a lot of power and a lot of tools to be able to identify and qualify different individuals for particular campaigns and for particular fundraising efforts.
I love that. I heard a webinar that you gave not too long ago, and I think the phrase that you used was that it helps folks understand what makes people tick, click, and give. Is that the phrase?
Yeah, we're really trying to make that click and tick.
I love that.
And stick. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. So one of the things that we've heard from nonprofits across the country, right, is there is now, especially with tools like Hatch, there is now so much data available that at some point it almost becomes paralysis analysis, right? Or by analysis. And so if you had to say to somebody what a good data strategy looks like, let's assume that somebody has a tool like Hatch or something like that, or they have magically the 5 hours to go through and research all of their people individually, what would you say is maybe the first step? Like once somebody has the information and they have that data, then what? What does that look like?
Yeah, I would say like this. First of all, it's one of the, I would say, our key advantages of using our platform is that we curate the data very carefully and we display the data in a very thoughtful way. Okay, so we have access to a lot more data than we're displaying on the platform. Okay. We have access to over 300 pieces of individual pieces of information. We're actually only serving up only around 80 pieces of information because we find that a lot of, like, for example, we get job information and I can tell you how many people work at the person's company and how many employees are working at that company. That's not so relevant to you, right?
Sure.
So that raw data point is not so relevant to you. But we've created a lot of different types of scoring. For example, social influence score. Our social influence score is gathering tons of little pieces of information, how many followers they have on Twitter, how often they've been featured in media, how frequent are they giving to other organizations. So we're doing a lot of curation to take all these little bits of information to give you this one single score that will help qualify this person for a particular task and for a particular job that you need to get done. I think the listeners, I think when you use a platform like Hatch, that's the first problem that we are solving.
Yeah.
In the way that we curate and deliver the data is that we're taking a lot of information and really delivering it in courses. You know, every individual, when you go onto each individual profile, each individual is separated, the data is separated into six clean categories. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but lifestyle, career,
yep,
donation history, social map, if they've been featured in the news, and then with a snapshot. So it's cleanly and delineated by thing. Now, I think in terms of like a data strategy for the individuals in the organization, well, first, I always look about this framework of jobs to be done, okay? It's a famous framework, Google it, jobs to be done. It's a kind of a working framework around when you build platforms and you build services for people, you really got to think about, well, you know, you could build something really fancy and you can build something that has a lot of bells and whistles. But like at the end of the day, what job does this person need to get done? Okay, my name is Kathy. I'm sitting at my desk. It's Monday morning. I'm a fundraiser, I'm a campaign manager, I'm a marketer. What job do I need to get done? So from that perspective, that's how you need to look at a data strategy. Well, if my job is to grow my Giving Tuesday campaign coming up, or we have a crowdfunding campaign coming up, and my job is to get 50 new team leaders to, and that's my job, I need to get 50 team leaders for my next crowdfunding campaign to run this, to lead and to guide this campaign and to make this campaign successful. Well, then your data strategy is, what type of information can you identify on your, and let's say you had 20 people and you need 30 new people. So using a tool like Hatch is going to go through your entire database and let's find, like, what are the characteristics based on this data? What are the characteristics of people who would be most likely to be a leader, to be a team leader, right? Because at the end of the day, data is giving you predictive power. That's the whole point of data. Mm. Data is saying, like, if we can gather enough little tidbits of information on people, then you start to have this superpower, which is prediction. Well, if I can tell you if in the past, they love to run and they love to, and you keep using the example because it's such a good example, but they've run 8 marathons and they're a yoga instructor, right?
Yeah.
Then, and with all that little piece of information, and they've given to this organization, and let's say you're in education, and they've given to these 5 education institutions in the past, well, that's predictive power. The likelihood, and you know the size of those donations, the likelihood of them joining your next event, whether it be, it doesn't have to be a run, it could be a bikeathon, it could be any type of physical event, the likelihood of them joining just 10x. So then I would then allocate that to a volunteer or allocate to a manager to start cultivating that person, because your time is so much more well spent cultivating that person versus just sending out a bunch of emails. So using data for your job, and everybody's got a job, you have to think about, like, how can I use data to be more surgical in the job that I need to get done? How can I use this data to give me this predictive power to help me spend my time more wisely? Mm. And I would say to stop spraying and praying to everybody in the organization. It's about using data to start being more surgical, so the people who are getting your message are the most likely to respond and the most likely to engage and the most likely to convert.
Your database is full of hidden donors. Hatch reveals exactly who they are, what they care about, and why they love your organization. Hatch is a game-changing fundraising technology that will help propel your organization to astronomical heights. At the push of a button and the glance of a screen, Hatch unveils what makes your donors tick, click, and give. Go to Hatch AI today and discover how giving is predictable. Try for free, and when you love it, save 20% on a paid account using the code HUB20.
I want to talk a little bit about, because to your point, it is a great example of getting people involved from that crowdfunding or kind of a peer-to-peer. There are still a lot of organizations out there that have not dipped their toe into getting involved in peer-to-peer. Obviously, a solution like Hatch makes that a lot easier to understand who people are, to get them involved that way. If somebody is maybe just starting to think about adding peer-to-peer or crowdfunding to their overall fundraising strategy, what are some things that they need to think about from a data perspective to get that started?
Yeah. So first of all, I think a little fear factor here is important. I've helped and run over 15,000 crowdfunding campaigns in my last company. Actually, if you go to Decoding the Crowd, I'm almost done. I've been almost done for like 3 years now. A book on, I did a study on the greatest crowdfunding campaigns of all time. For over 2,000 years of like popular crowdfunding campaigns. And I would say, first of all, message I would say is, it's critical today to move into crowdfunding, because the power of the crowd and the power of the collective is the future. Mm. Okay. Just a piece of information. You know, American Cancer Society, that raises over $1 billion a year, over $350 million comes from peer-to-peer crowdfunding. Okay.
Wow.
That's over a third of their donations are not coming from mega gifts.
Yeah.
Okay. So in a world where major donors that want to qualify your ask and want to qualify your relevance are going to look to the collective voice of the people rather than some really fancy presentation. And people don't think about it that way. If I have 10 major donors that have stamped in blood their commitment to my organization, right? Let's say you do, it's which you don't, because with look at the markets in the last few years, look how philanthropy in general has I won't say crashed, but has plateaued and flatlined, right? But let's say, best case scenario, you have 10 major donors who are covering your entire budget. Your budget's $1 million, and they've just somehow they've written you into their right. But even if they are committed, the qualifications and the dependency that they're looking for is no longer what you say and is no longer what you produce in this beautiful presentation or data charts. They're going to want to see real-time collective intelligence and the voting of the people, because that's possible today. So if they're going to look at you and say, one second, you're telling me you're servicing 500 children in your school or in your education, after-school education program, but you can't get 70% of those parents to give $100? What's going on here? Yeah. So what's going to happen is slowly, if you're an organization today and you're not moving into crowdfunding and proving to your major donors that you have the vote, and the best way that you have the vote of your participants is through their dollar, even if it's a small amount, then your major donors are going to start looking at you and going to say, one second, something's up here. Something's up here. The people aren't behind this. The people aren't behind this. So that's why I would say, you know, there's so many reasons why you should get into crowdfunding. It's great. It's new money. It's events and everything. But I would say that's if there's just in the short time that we have, that's the most critical reason, because you're going to start losing your major donor support, and then you're going to be left with nothing. Now, in terms of a data strategy, again, a tool like Hatch is a great way to jumpstart your data strategy, because peer-to-peer campaigning is in many ways is around lifestyle. Right? So there are two things. So first of all, it's around lifestyle. So based on the type of campaigns, whether it's a walk, whether it's a bake-a-thon, whether it's I've seen some walk on coal, I've seen some wild ones, like whatever, hot coal walking, whatever it is, right? And it's important that, you know, because you want people to give with their full existence. So in order to identify those first probable prospects of joining a particular peer-to-peer campaign, Hatch can help you identify those people. So within 10 seconds, if you're doing, let's say going back to the run, right? I don't want to give too many examples. Just if you have 10,000 people and you go on Hatch, we could within three clicks, I can identify every single person in your database that has publicly proclaimed that they either are skilled or interested in running. On average, it's a pretty wild phenomenon. On average, if you have 10,000 people, we usually get more than 300 or 400 people. On most of our organizations that have over 10,000 people, we usually get over 300 or 400 people that have proclaimed, whether like on LinkedIn or any type of social media, where they basically proclaim them. So that's a great start. Now you can start with that. You can start with that list. Another thing is, back to the social influence, is that to do successful peer-to-peer crowdfunding campaign, you need that online influence, that gravitas, some of those people who have large Twitter followings, have large Instagram followings. So another thing that you can do in Hatch is you can identify those people within just a few clicks of people who have large followings based on their social influence score. So with those two ingredients, Hatch is a great place to start to kind of spearhead crowdfunding campaigns.
That's great. I wholeheartedly agree that the major donors are going to start to take a look. We are definitely in that zone, if they haven't already.
Yeah.
That we're definitely going to, that's going to become more and more imperative to have the people behind it. So it's a fantastic point. Thank you so much for all of that. That has been excellent information, and I could not agree more on embracing peer-to-peer. So thank you for proving the data point on that. Any last thoughts as we wrap up today to share with the audience around data and AI and its importance?
Yeah, I think we are at a critical point I'm gonna close with this. I've been serving nonprofits over a decade. I come from a family of people that are my father is in social work. Many of my siblings, uncles run community centers. So it's just been involved in this in my whole life. Unfortunately, nonprofits have been left behind when it comes to a lot of innovation, a lot of technology. Historically, we've been just almost like 10 years behind on everything. I would say that's usually the case. But it doesn't have to be the case with data and AI. I really don't think it has to be the case because I think, and the conversations that I'm having with organizations is that we actually have a leg up over the first and second sector, right? I think the third sector actually has an incredible leg up when it comes to leveraging the data. Because you think about it, if I'm a nonprofit versus, let's say, I'm running an e-commerce site, okay? The information that I have on the individuals on an e-commerce site is much more limited to the information that I have on people and the relationships that I'm building with people on the nonprofit side. Okay. I know how much money they're giving to us. Okay. Which is a signal of their capacity and a signal of their wealth. I know what programs they're giving to, which is a signal of their interests and the signal of what they're passionate about in life. Okay. I know what events they're coming to. So this information that we have on individuals goes very deep. Now, using that data to better serve them, using that data to target them better, using that information to build deeper relationships by leveraging big data, leveraging generative and predictive AI today, we actually have a really unique leg up on the other industry. This is a moment in time where we have to stop and we have to say, like, are we going to take advantage of this? And I'm seeing a lot in the last, I would say, 12, 18, 24 months. There is a lot of nonprofits are stepping up and they're saying that we don't have to be behind on this curve. We don't have to be behind on this next new wave. And I just encourage everybody who's listening here, it's find those tools. Hatch is one of them. Find those tools. They're going to help you leverage the equity that you already have under your nose. You have a community. Now let's use a tool to leverage this information to deepen those relationships, to cultivate our people, and ultimately to help to have them to participate more, to give more, and to help you with your cause. That's my takeaway.
I love it. I love it. Moshe, thank you. Appreciate you being on today. Again, my guest has been Moshe Hecht, who is the founder and CEO of Hatch AI. So excited to have you here. Thanks so much for your wisdom on that. We appreciate it. We will see you next time on the Nonprofit Hub podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Megan.